revelation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up to glory. This is the word of the Lord. Why does church conduct matter? Why does the way the church is set up, how people live within the church, how it's run, how do these things, why do these things matter? How we set up church is important, and maybe we need it in a way that brings in lots of guests. Maybe we need to set it up so it looks really good for the outside world. Maybe pretty decorations, a nice looking building like this, and other people come into. Maybe that's a good way. Maybe we need it in a way that will attract people with lots. By maybe putting certain people in certain positions that will bring more people in. People are not necessarily qualified in the way Paul puts it in chapter 3, but they'll show the wider community, the wider world, that the church is diverse and moving all the time. Maybe we need to be saying things from the front in a super exciting way. Maybe we need to say things that people want to hear, not what they don't want to hear. And those all sound like those plausible reasons as to why we should set up church in a certain way. Well, fortunately for us, we don't need to ourselves. And many churches today will make up their own reason, but they just read 1 Timothy, like we are. Until the end of chapter 3, they can see why the way the church is now. Imagine if Jeff Bezos was walking along the street, and someone came up to him, a random person with no idea about business, and said, "I think you should do this way." It would make no sense at all. If your son or your daughter says, "We're going to run the house this way," you might laugh and go, "Go on, there's no chance." It wouldn't make sense. Now, verse 14 says, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing to you these instructions so that in these verses today we see why Paul wrote this verse letter to 1 Timothy. We've been looking at ways in which the church should be over previous weeks. We've seen how the church should be organised, what is required of certain people in certain positions. Why does it actually matter? We'll see that in these verses today, but it matters because it's God's family together holding up the truth. And it's the church's responsibility to be telling people. So our first point today is the church is God's family, together holding up the truth. But we're going to split it into three. So our first, we're going to split it A, B and C. The first part of that is going to be the church is God's family. The church is God's family. It says here, verse 15, "If I am delayed, you will know how people will conduct themselves. God's household." When we use the word household, we immediately think of home, but we don't think of the house we live in. We think of the people. When we speak of someone's household, we're speaking of who lives in their house. Maybe when you were growing up, your household consisted of you and your mum, maybe you, mum and dad and your sister. Maybe there were many in your household. Many of us had different households, but it was the people that made the household. So when the Bible speaks of household, it speaks of the people. This is the household. Not the TV, the sofa, the food, not the kitchen, the pipe, or even the animals. It speaks of the people. Everything else can change, and it doesn't change the household. But the people, the family, so when we see it here in our verse 15, Paul is saying about how people are to conduct themselves as part of God's family. This is a family, and in a family there are levels of authority. There are certain ways the household needs to be conducted. We've seen this family language already in this letter. In 3 verse 5 it says, speaking about overseers, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church, God's family? We've seen this importance of family being correct. It's important. It needs to be done correctly. Paul cares about it. He doesn't get left to his child. He doesn't get to his child. They need him to be carefully so that he will know how he needs to conduct himself to God's family. All the instructions we've been reading so far regarding who is to be in certain positions, such as teaching roles, is to be this way because it's how the household of God, the family of God, is beautiful. I feel like Paul could stop there and that's nothing. Just as how it matters in your own household, whether you are a child or an adult, you treat people in a certain way. You respect certain positions. And we do these things because it's the household. Family, well, this is God's family, and he's given instructions on how it's going to be ordered. When you're young, you treat your dad in a certain way. Maybe in cases like mine, where you live only with your mum, treat your mum in a certain way as a one to Why do we listen to our parents? There are reasons that need to be said, but they're the boss. Likewise, the household of God, God is the boss. He is the head of the family. Why does church look like that? The church is God's family. And then we go on to our second part. The church is God's people together. The church is God's people together. If I am delayed, you will know how to conduct yourselves in God's household, which is for the church of the living God. Church is the church of the living God. And the church just means a congregation or assembly of people together. So it's a gathering of people back here today. It isn't a church building ruin. That means nothing to God. It's a nice building, but whether we're here or we're outside in the graveyard, whether we're at the park, that is the church building together. If anyone tells you need a fancy building, if anyone tells you you need to have nice windows, or you need to have nice cushions on your seat, or you need to have pews, they don't understand the church. These are all nice things, but nothing more. Good speakers, lights, certain clothes, none of these things are the church, they're not. You, me, the person sitting next to you, that's the church. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, if you love Jesus, then those sitting here today are the church. Now, as we saw in chapter 3, there are certain positions for different people, overseers, elders, who are to live in certain ways. Chapter 2 should be a place of prayer without conflict, praying together in love. Believers in Jesus meeting together in this way household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church holds up the truth. Have you ever heard that before? The church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. But what does that mean? We've got pillar and foundation. Another translation, ESV, replaces foundation with the word buttress. Buttress. What's that? Well, I don't know much about construction. Maybe some of you do. I mean, I should do. My brother works in construction. My dad does. About 8 months or two. I also don't listen. So I had to do a bit of research. I looked into what this description may mean. And a pillar, if you all look at the back, we've got pillars here that are holding up where the audience is. We've got pillars there. They hold up in the building. They support something so that it can be there. They are what is holding it up so that that can be set to stage. And likewise with a foundation, it's something that contributes to a building being held up. The foundation is what holds the building up. It's there to serve the building by allowing it to be there. It's not a centerpiece, no one sees the foundation, but it's holding it up. A buttress, which is another potential way of translating foundation. What's that, and why is Reese throwing a random weird word out? Because I think it hones in the point I'm trying to make. Buttress is something firm that holds a building. If you have a building like this, for example, it might be able to go over its weight. If you put something like there, like that, then it can't go over. That's what buttress is. It's extra support. We, as the church, are the structure that holds up the truth. We hold it up as people can see. That is what the truth. We are not the thing being held up, but we hold up to it. We're not what's important. That which is being held up. In a mighty skyscraper, no one cares. No one looks at the buttress, the pillars, the foundation. They're looking at the skyscraper. Church is not to hold up the church. I think the point being made here is that we need, not that we need it so much for the gospel to be held up, but that our role is nothing more than to hold it up so much. Let everyone see it. It's the church's job for the people around to see the wonderful thing that's being held up. The truth of Jesus, the truth, that he came and died to save sinners. And we saw that earlier on in the book. Jesus came to sinners. The truth of the gospel. The church is to hold up the Bible. Hold this up as what is important. I love Cornhill. Days out like Danbury's Women's Conference are great. And they're really helpful. And we can learn great things. But isn't it astonishing that the role of holding up the gospel isn't Cornhill, it isn't days out or men's conferences. It's the church, it's us today, here, we are those who are meant to hold up. The truth first and foremost is by us, the church. It's all about Jesus, we hold him up, we show him to the world, we show him to each other. If we're not doing that, we're not the church. If Jesus and his word of truth, the Bible, isn't being held up, then it's not the church. It's just the people that are building the people pointing to the world. Truth starts here. Truth comes through the church. This is God's family, God's church. This is where God's truth is being held up. God has designated the church as a place where the truth is held up. But it must be held up in a certain way. Paul has been describing church order, church conduct, the way church is set up matters. This is where the buttress of the truth. It can be tempting for us to think we can do it in a better way. Maybe go against how it's outlined in 1 Timothy. And many people are doing that. Many of the biggest denominations in England, such as with our own one, church is here because of Jesus. It's his church. He is the living God. In his six-part poem, song, we see six lines telling us different phases of what Jesus has done. Let's go through them. He appeared in the flesh. He was born. God came down to live a life in the flesh. A man like you or me. He was born as any other person was. He became flesh as any other person did. He lived in a world of sin like we did, but he was vindicated by the Spirit. Vindicated means to clear someone of blame. Why would you think? What could they blame him for? Well, people thought he was a liar when he claimed to be the promised one of God's nation. Because he died. But he was raised from the dead. Spirit working powerfully. He rose from the dead. He rose after 3 days. It was proven that he wasn't a liar. Everything he said was true because he rose from the dead. He was vindicated. He was seen by angels. When he rose from the dead, he was seen by heavenly beings. It was angels who first told him that Jesus had risen from the dead. It was preached among the nations. Still today, 2,000 years later, it's still being preached about. Paul, who writes his letter, the other apostle, Timothy, Paul's writing to, they're all telling people about Jesus. Believed on the world. People from every tribe and nation are proclaiming the name of Jesus. Look around again. Look at our congregation. Believe all around the world. People all around the world believe in Jesus. And finally, the taken up to glory. I think the six lines here are chronological, so they happen in order. I don't think this is speaking about when Jesus was taken to glory, but the final part of the same spirit. That they are thinking to be with him in glory. Finish speaking to the church of believers, for those who believe on in the world. Once they go to meet Jesus in death, they are taken up to glory. This is the Jesus came to make a difference. That is the secret of godliness that has been revealed. Church, we speak of the one who does it. Speak of Jesus. Us as a congregation of believers, the people of God, need to be telling people about the mystery of godliness. It's been revealed. We have a gospel to proclaim. Jesus. Tell people they need to know. It's not come to church to get healed. It's not come to church to get the financial situation sorted out. It's not come to church to take away a hard situation you're in at work or wherever. It's let me tell you a secret revealed. The mystery of God has been revealed. This man, Jesus. The mystery has been revealed. God came as a man, a living man, who rose after death by the Spirit. People believe in him today, and they will go to be with him. had to reveal God is better than what we've read here. We can do what we want. That's the beginning. Imagine a random person that just plays the song about it. It would make no sense. We care about Jesus. The message of him being proclaimed among the nations in Dagna and elsewhere, when we need to care about how the church is set up, how it's run, we need to care about the church's conduct. It's his message, and it's his way he wants it. It's his way he wants it. The world will tell you these things don't matter. People in other churches will tell you these things don't matter. But it does. This is how God is doing his saving mission so people know. So let's listen to what the Bible says. Do it as best as you can.